Let's turn to the book of Ezekiel today. Good to see everybody in church today. Hope everybody's feeling good on this Lord's Day. It's a beautiful day. Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel 14. Beginning at verse 13. Son of man, God is speaking to Ezekiel. He called him the son of man. When the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then I will stretch out my hand upon it and will break the staff of the bread thereof and will send famine upon it and will cut off man and beast from it. God is telling Ezekiel what's going to happen to the Jewish people, God's own people, if they won't listen to him. And don't forget, God's the same God today, folks. Verse 14, though these three men, this is what I want you to notice. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. And may God bless his word, because it is God's word. And God means what he says, folks. Let's talk with you a little while this morning about the blessing of righteousness. But first, may we pray. Loving God, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for those that you've used down through the centuries to pin down your word. And that today in this 21st century, we have the word of God in its entirety. And it is just as true today as it was the day it was given to man. Thank you that we can read your word knowing that it's true. It means what it says, and it says what it means. And if only we that had ears would hear what thus saith the Lord. Because it's by the word of the Lord we all shall be judged one day. How have we submitted to thy word? How have we obeyed thy word? What have we did with thy word? The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart. Oh, that all of us would hide the word of God in our heart, that it would direct our steps, not only in this place, but as we make our journey throughout life each day. Thank you for the opportunity you give us today. We bow before you in praise and adoration in the precious saving name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The blessing of righteousness. God looks at the righteous and makes a distinction between them and the wicked person. God notices how you're living. How am I living? What am I doing? And it pleases the Lord to bless those that fear him. God, excuse me, wants to bless people. But in order to, for him to bless us, we must fear him. Recognize who he is. That he is God. And he's a holy God. In this passage, the prophet Ezekiel, God shows us that he hears the prayer of the righteous, the saved man, the saved woman. These people that think God hears any and everybody don't know what they're talking about. It's not that God can't hear them. He can hear them. But when we talk about God hears the prayers of his people, that means he responds. He responds. The righteous in this case were those who lived in obedience to God. And God said that even though Noah and Daniel and Job was living at this time in that land of Israel, he would not even hear their prayers to save that country. Did you get what I just said? It's just like today, folks. Before Billy Graham died, I don't care how hard Billy Graham prayed, he wouldn't save America. When we have blatantly turned away from God. But Billy Graham would be saved by his own life. He'd be judged by his own way. And that would be true with any other righteous person. We all going to answer individually to the living God for how we have lived our life day in and day out before the Lord. Thank you, baby. I don't know what happened. I ain't had no problem that I got up here. There are many people who think they are righteous today. I'm a good person. It was mentioned this morning in our Sunday school lesson. I'm as good as the people at the church. Well, that's not the way God looks at things. God doesn't look at things that way. In our liberal society today, people are mostly living as they please. Don't you agree with that? Yes. People just living, going where they and doing what they want to do. Unconscious of what God thinks. Think about what God says in these verses. Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing, that is being unfaithful, grievously, then I will stretch out my hand upon it and will break the staff of the bread thereof. I will send famine upon it and will cut off man and beast from it. I don't know where y'all have noticed it or not, but the corn crop around here has basically failed this year. Wonder why that happened. You go all the way up towards Aberdeen and all the corn is nothing but stalk. God can cause the crops to fail when the people aren't living right, folks, even today. And he said he would do it in the day. This was about 96, 97, somewhere along in those years when this was written to the Jewish people. God says to the Jews he will cease to bless them like he wants to when they ignore him. Do we ignore God as God's people? As you go about your daily activities, are you thinking about God? Is God on your mind? Are you wanting to please God? Do you really want to please God? We've got to keep him on our mind and doing what he says. Because God is looking to see if we're living a righteous life, a godly life. God said he would cease to bless them if they ignored him. Since God is the same God today, God does not change, we should learn from the mistakes of the Jewish people. You remember what the Ten Commandments said? The Ten Commandments are relevant. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. When God says don't have another God, that don't mean he's just talking about little statues you bow down to. God is talking about anything that's more important to you than he is. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve thee. For I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Do you know God's jealous? If there's something more important to you than God, God's jealous. If we seen our wife making with somebody else, we'd get jealous, wouldn't we? Same is true, vice versa. God is a jealous God also. He's jealous for your love. He made you for himself. He made me for him. For me to know him, love him, serve him. For him to be number one. Today, is the Lord number one in your life? He wants to be number one. He demands being number one. Because he's God. Think about Ezekiel preaching this message to the Jewish people. Of course, they didn't listen to him. The Jews were so stubborn and rebellious until God was going to have to, listen to this, utterly destroy his people. You know, God will destroy people to get their attention. God continues by saying in verses 13 and 14, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. My life is not going to help deliver your life unless you believe what I believe, in other words. I've heard my mom or daddy once say it, I can't remember which one. I can't live for you. You're on your own. You're on your own, brother. You're on your own, sister. It's what you do that God is going to be looking at. God says, sin can get so great until I will not hear even the most righteous prayers. The righteous can be praying and praying for our country, but there's so much sin, God won't even hear. Did y'all know that? See, they was righteous people in the days of Daniel and Ezekiel. They were righteous men, godly men. God used these men. But still, there were so many unsaved, rebellious, stubborn people, God sent them into slavery. And just because we got a few here in church that loves the Lord and serves the Lord, it won't save this country. We got too many churches today, they just have in church. God says he will only bless those who are living like Noah, Daniel, and Job. Think about that. Now remember, Noah went through a storm. Think about it now. Noah had to go through the worst storm there's ever been. I mean, it rained so much. John, you thought your house had a lot of water, son. Noah saw so much rain, it even covered the mountains by 15 cubits, the highest mountain. Daniel was put in a lion's den. And look what a righteous man he was. Just because you're righteous don't mean you're going to not have to face troubles and trials. But it's not because God is against you when the righteous suffer. There's a distinction made. And remember Job? Job told Satan that he was my best witness in all the world. What happened to Job? We all know. He lost all of his children, 10 children. Lost all of his herds, most of his servants. And then his wife said, "Won't you just curse God and die?" He broke out with all those boils. But he kept trusting God. He just stayed true to God. He said, "Though God even slay me, I'm going to keep trusting him." And that's the mindset we need, folks. No matter how rough life gets, I'm going to just keep living for the Lord. Because after a while, the Lord's going to clear things up. And in the case of Job, he was double blessed after he passed the test. Now remember these three men. They were righteous men. These were men who pleased God by the way they lived, because they lived for the Lord God. You know what? You can live for God if you want to. You want to live for the Lord? You live by faith. You live by this book. It's a day-by-day experience. It's a minute-by-minute experience. Trust in the Lord. And though most of the country may be chasing other dreams they have, you don't have to. You can keep trusting the Lord. And the Lord will notice the difference. The Lord will notice the difference. But few, if any, of the Jews appear to be pleasing the Lord at this time in their history, in about 586 to 594 B.C. The Jews were a very religious people. Very religious. They were observing days, rituals, and ceremonies. But you can only please God when your heart is right. When your heart's in tune with the Lord. Ezekiel was writing from Babylon when the Jews were taken into captivity. And in 1 Samuel 15:22, the writer wrote, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." It's always better to obey God than to get God's judgments on your life. In Jeremiah, "My people have committed two evils." Jeremiah, the prophet, wrote, "They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Jeremiah 2:13. God said to the Jewish people, "You've left me, the one that's given you living water, and you've made cisterns or wells, and they won't even hold water." And when you trust something more than God, you're trusting in something that'll fail you. It's not going to work. Only faith in God through Jesus Christ works. There's only one choice. God's plan for Israel is in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6, God says, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me." Listen to this. "Above all people." Look what an opportunity and privilege the Jews had. They could be the most blessed people in all the world, God says, if you just obey me. "Keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people." Listen, "for all the earth is mine," God says. "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." God had special plans for those people. But down through the years, they've had trouble obeying God. In the book of Peter, Peter tells us we ourselves are a nation of priests unto the Lord through Jesus Christ. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we are priests. We're to live holy and godly all the time. It's always a struggle for God's people, the Jews, to obey Him. They always struggle. You read from the history of the Jewish people to this very hour, they have problems obeying God. Jesus Christ has came and 2,000 years has gone by, and still those Jews, the nation, rejects Jesus Christ. Isn't that sad? With all the modern and all the complete Word of God, they still, the Jews. And eventually, during the tribulation time, 2/3 of all the Jews in the world will be killed. Why? Stubborn, rebellious, refusing to listen to God, refusing to accept God's Son. It's so sad. It's so troubling when you have the truth right there and people won't accept it. That's how strong sin is. That's how desperately wicked the heart of man is. It's blind. We're always judging ourselves by how good I am. I'm not that bad. Many church people just find it hard to be faithful, even today. Church people find it hard to be faithful even today. The Jewish people, even from time of being delivered from Egypt, they sought to worship idols of all things. Think about that. They came out of Egypt where idol worship was common, and they just followed it themselves, folks. When Moses went up on the mountain with God, when he came down, the people had got around to make a gold calf so they could worship a gold calf. No life in it. Couldn't do anything. I mean, how stupid can people get? Bow down before a gold calf. And yet, God had already told them they're not to worship any idols. When we put anything before God, it is an idol. Anything. Maybe you need to write that down right quick. When you put anything before God, it's an idol that God hates. A house, a car, a job, etc. You can go down the whole list. Anything before God is an idol that God hates. When Moses saw what had happened, he had 3,000 of those Jews killed when he saw them worshiping that idol. Think about that. 3,000 Jews were killed for worshiping a gold idol. It don't sound like that idol had much power to worship it, to protect its worshipers, did it? Isn't that something? That old gold calf couldn't protect those people that was being killed. The problem with the Jews is the same problem we have today with people. It's a heart problem. And Jeremiah said, it's the heart, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We can so easily get distracted from serving the Lord. What is it that gets you distracted from serving the Lord? Satan's a very cunning person. He's a very cunning person. He's slick. He watches us to see where he can get us. He wants to come between us and the Lord. And he'll bring up something to get us off track if we're not careful. He knows our weaknesses. And when we fail to pray, read God's word, go to church on time, we become weak and an easy target for the devil to attack. If unsaved, listen to what I want to tell you right now. Don't you forget what I'm fixing to tell you right now. If unsaved people today could see their real condition before God, they'd have a heart attack and die. You think about it. If they could really see what their real condition is before God, they'd have a heart attack and die. Because that's the awfulness of sin. That is their condition. That's what sin has did to us all. And we're all been like that till you get saved. Oh, we think because everything is going along and we're managing and, you know, I must be doing okay. God did not kill me yet. Oh, he's just giving you time. He's just giving you time to hear his word, believe on his son. The problem is people's lack of knowledge of the truth keeps them in darkness and on the road to destruction. Three young ladies that lost their lives this past week, I don't know a thing about any of them, but if they weren't ready to meet God, it's too late now. No second chances. See, young people can leave this world early too. God said in Ezekiel 14:21, for thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem. God says, I'm going to send some judgments on Jerusalem because they won't listen to me. You know what? America's no different, folks. Hey, folks, America's had the preaching of God's word as much or more than Jerusalem ever did. And besides, we've heard about the Messiah, the Savior. Amen? And God says, I'm going to send four sore judgments on Jerusalem because y'all won't listen to me. He said, first of all, I'm gonna send a sword. Back then they didn't have guns. They had swords. I believe a sword would be the worst way to die, wouldn't it, sometime? At least if you get shot, you're shot. But think about, God says, I'm going to send a sword. And boy, did Nebuchadnezzar come with the sword. God said, also, I'm going to send famine. Crops are going to fail. You ought to see some sad farmers. You don't let it rain for a month. You see sad farmers. God says, I'm also going to send something else. I'm going to send wild beasts. I'm going to send a beast to attack people. And then he said, the fourth thing, I'm going to send pestilence. That is, I'm going to send plagues. Plagues like the bubonic plague or the black plague. I'm going to send these four judgments against my own people. Mama used to say when she was whipping us young'uns, this hurts me more than it hurts y'all. I didn't believe it. I tried to outrun that. Listen, folks, God was loving his people, but they wouldn't listen to him. Knowing who God is, knowing God is a God of love, and knowing God, how much God loved those people, and that God was having to do this to his own people. Think of how it was grieving his heart, folks. He was doing something he didn't want to do. But he had to because people won't listen to his word. What do we see today? Drugs. School shootings, liberal politicians, the national debt's out of sight now, folks, and they want more. Fatherless children, aborting babies, hate and anger, low church attendance, and on the list goes today in our country. Me and Junior went to see my brother Tuesday of this past week. Folks, I'm going to tell y'all something. I reckon you know it already, but this economy over here is booming. There's just about as many big 18-wheelers on the road as there is cars. I've never seen a beat in my life, going and a coming. And then Faye and I went to Fayetteville, and it's just as bad. The truckers are trucking, folks. And you know what that means? People are buying. Faye and I went into Sam's in Fayetteville. Some of them was pulling two buggies, Brother Chavis, and I'm filling those buggies up. Somebody's got money. People's got money and they're blowing it just like it's forever. This economy, hey, I believe we're getting ready for Jesus to come. I believe we're getting ready for Jesus to come. People's got money. And if they ain't got any, government sending them some except me. There's one other thing we need to notice about God concerning Noah, Daniel, and Job. God said, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, in that land, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor their own daughter. I can't deliver my daughter. My daughter can't deliver her children. Each person is on their own. Amen. I can't take you to heaven. No, sir. Mom and daddy can't do it. Hey, folks. It's sad. But God has so arranged it, you got to answer for yourself. Noah did not rescue the godly world of his day. Think about that. Noah, in his day, rescued nobody but only his wife and sons and their wives out of all the probably millions of people of that day. Daniel, though he was a righteous man, could not prevent the captivity of his country. And Job was spared neither son nor daughter, even though these were righteous men before God. Each person has to stand before God on their own. Your friends, parents, pastor, nor Noah, Daniel, or Job can stand in our place. Will each one come before the Lord individually? How have we lived? What have we done? And the most important thing is this: what have you done with Jesus Christ? It's going to be a solemn day, folks. There ain't going to be no laughing and giggling. Won't be anybody telling any jokes. It's going to be a sober time at the judgment. There's going to be a lot of crying. Be a lot of embarrassment. When God has determined to punish a nation, no intercession shall avail. We got people today in our country praying for our country, but the day is coming there won't be enough for God to listen to. Personal holiness alone can prevent these evils, but the holiness of any man can only avail for himself. We will answer to our God as we have lived our life before Him in this world. Prayer is needed today. Your prayer is needed. But if you pray, you should be living so you can pray. We don't need to say a prayer. We need to pray. There's a difference. Prayer is needed today by each and every one of us who's a Christian in this country. Total commitment to the Lord and to His church is also important. That's what God's looking for. Someone totally committed to the Lord. You know, today we don't want to seem like be total committed. I don't want to sacrifice. I don't want to have to give up something. I don't want to be denied this or that. Well, then you're not totally committed. God's looking for totally committed people. Our priorities need to be in order. God is God, the one who gave us life, the one who feeds us every day, the one that's looking after us every day. He's looking after all of us. We're not looking after ourselves per se. Folks, we the church supposed to be righteous people, an example to a lost and dying world. When me and Junior went down to South Carolina the other day, we stopped at this little store where we usually buy gas, but I didn't buy any gas on that day. I was in line at the checkout to get me a Pepsi and a cracker, and there's a black lady ahead of me. And she told a clerk she wanted some of those tickets where you win the lottery. And she come out, looked like with 3 or 4 or 5 different tickets. She come on out and started out the door, and well, I was next in line to get checked out. So I paid for my drink and cracker. I went out, and this lady had stopped out there on the lot, was looking over what all she had there, and I walked up to her. I reached in my pocket. I said, "Ma'am," and she turned around and looked at me. I said, "Listen, I want to give you something that's a sure winner." I said, "I noticed you got those gambling things there. I mean, you might not win." I said, "But this is a sure winner every time." She kindly grinned when I give her the track. But you know what? I seen something go across her face that let me know she knew she shouldn't have been buying those tickets. I seen it go across her face. That's a sure winner every time, brother. But those gambling tickets, you may not get to win the prize, but you're also now going to stand before God for buying that. You've lost your money, plus you're going to be condemned. God demands righteousness, folks. Not just for me. Not just from the Sunday school teacher. God demands righteousness for everyone in this building after you reach the age of accountability. The Bible says in the New Testament, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We use the things of this world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do you like the world system today? I don't. There's so much lying, cheating, stealing, thieving, injustice is everywhere, folks. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away. Did you know this world is going to pass away? Y'all really believe that? One of these days, it's going to be the last morning. And for sure, it's going to be the last morning for you, for me. Things are not going to go on like they've been going on. This country's in a downhill spiral that I'm afraid it won't ever recover. The world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, the one that does the will of God. What is the will of God, preacher? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe on Jesus Christ, he'll change your life. Now, has he changed your life? Only you can answer that. And you can't get too committed to him. Amen? Are you righteous before God today? You can only be righteous by faith through Jesus Christ. Have you truly repented of your sins and are living a godly life? Living godly? Not just when people's looking at you. What's going on in your heart and your mind? What are you chasing after in your heart and your mind? Are you putting the Lord first and truly seeking his will for your life? The best life that any person ever experiences is a life totally surrendered to Christ. It's the life that God blesses. That don't mean a lot of money. That don't mean you'll be famous. That means the one thing He wants, righteousness. He wants a righteous life. That's the blessed life. Now, He might give some of them other things. That's up to Him. Because His purpose is different for each person. But the primary thing God's looking at every Christian in this room today, He wants you to live righteously. Not just at church. He wants you to be righteous on the job. In your home. I had my wife down on her knees the other day. She was trying to get me out from under the bed. Amen. Praise God. I got a good wife. Let's live righteous all the time. Let's promote righteousness. God loves us, folks. And God wants to bless us. If you're not saved and you're here today, you could be saved faster than I can get it out if you accept Christ as your Savior. That old thief on the cross said, "Lord, remember me." He recognized who Jesus was. You got to recognize who Jesus Christ is. He's your only hope. Trust Him. Love Him. Serve Him. You'll never regret it, our brothers and sisters. Loving God, thank you for this time, this opportunity, the blessings of grace. I pray for this audience here today. I pray you'd help each one with the things they face each day, Lord. Encourage them, challenge them, use them. Help us to be a righteous people for the glory of our God, who would redeem a sinner like me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Our altar's open. You can come this morning, talk to the Lord. You can come pray for people. You can come and commit yourself fully to the Lord.